All right. Oyez, oyez, oyez. United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Lawrence Hagel presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this court. You may be seated.
Morning. We're here this morning to hear the case of Robert Posey versus Eric Shinseki, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. The docket number is 080240. Who will speak for Mr. Posey this morning?
Good morning, Your Honor. Sarah Collier, counsel for appellant Mr. Posey.
Okay, Ms. Collier. And who will speak for the Secretary?
Good morning, Nu Nguyen for the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and this is Brian Ripple, Deputy Assistant General Counsel for the Secretary.
Okay, thank you very much. Judge Lance has reminded me that there are two other judges here on the panel. To my right, Judge Lance, to my left, Judge Schoen. Okay. Ms. Collier, you may begin.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court.
Do you want to reserve any time?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal.
I'm sorry, how many?
10 minutes for rebuttal.
Make it so.
I'm counsel for appellant Mr. Posey. On November 8, 2007, Mr. Posey misfiled his notice of appeal with the Denver Regional Office. Instead of promptly forwarding Mr. Posey's notice of appeal to this court, the Denver Regional Office held on to Mr. Posey's notice of appeal for approximately 72 days. It was not forwarded to this court until January 19, 2008, and this court did not receive it until January 22, 2008, a total of 75 days from the date Mr. Posey misfiled his notice of appeal with the Denver Regional Office. Unfortunately, this court received Mr. Posey's notice of appeal outside the 120-day judicial time period as prescribed by 38 U.S.C. 7266.
Excuse me one second. Do you happen to have my notes? Oh, I have it on my computer. My notes should have been in. This won't count against your time. Thank you very much. You may continue.
Thank you. However, when Mr. Posey misfiled his notice of appeal with the Denver Regional Office, the 120-day judicial time period had not yet been triggered. Thus, when this court received Mr. Posey's notice of appeal, seemed timely.
Would you mind running me through the timeline here as you understand it?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Posey misfiled his notice of appeal on November 8, 2007 with the Denver Regional Office.
Well, first of all, when was the board decision?
July 17, 2007.
Okay, and then as I understand it, Mr. Posey it wasn't mailed to Mr. Posey's correct address. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
The VA concedes that, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. The VA does concede that.
Okay. What is the date that you would assert that the board decision was mailed to Mr. Posey?
Well, that, Your Honor, is unclear. The Secretary argues that they remailed the decision to Mr. Posey on December 15, 2007.
What is your position?
My position is it's unclear of when it was mailed to Mr. Posey, but my position is that Mr. Posey did receive it sometime from November 6, 2007, when he submitted his documents to the Denver Regional Office.
If he received it on November 6th, how many days would have passed?
That would be November 6th to January 19th of when it was postmarked. So it would have been within the 120-day judicial time period, Your Honor.
Okay. So if we assume that... if in fact he did receive the document and that takes care of any problems with mailing, correct?
Well, Your Honor, when the secretary remailed the document to Mr. Posey, again, the date is unclear. Mm-hmm. The secretary relies, the record reflects, the secretary relies on an unverified handwritten note that is unsigned within Mr. Posey's C file stating that the decision was remailed on December 15th. When the decision was remailed to Mr. Posey on December 15th, 2007, the date on the decision was not revised to reflect the new mailing date.
Okay, I'm going to go back. We'll get to that if you don't mind. But I want to make clear is that, because I'm going to ask the secretary to address this, if in fact the document was received by Mr. Posey, then there's no issue with respect to mailing, because between November 6th, let's say we pick that date, and the date that the court received the notice of this document that you're asserting, I believe, is a notice of appeal, is within 120 days.
That is correct, Your Honor.
It's only if we accept the secretary's position that they mailed it on the date they said.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, I think you're about to get into the area that, in my mind, follows next.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. The secretary argues that they remailed the decision, the July 17, 2007 board decision to Mr. Posey on December 15, 2007. And as the record reflects, there is not any evidence that that is, in fact, the true date. The secretary relies on an unverified note within Mr. Posey's C file that's handwritten, not signed, that it was resent on December 15, 2007. And the document that was resent to Mr. Posey on this unknown date did not have a revised mailing date on the date of the decision pursuant to VA regulations that the date of the mailing should, the decision should be stamped with the date of mailing.
Counselor, I'd like to stop you there. In your brief, you assert that there is a requirement that they should have restamped it with the board decision with the date that it was, the second mailing was made. Where is the authority for that proposition?
Your Honor, in our brief, we cite to, it is USC 38 CFR 20.1100.
Now, does 20.1100 address the issue of remailing or restamping?
It does not, Your Honor, but it does say that all decisions of the board will be stamped with the date of mailing on the face of the decision.
So what difference would it make in this case?
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Posey's due process rights would not have been violated.
That's just what difference would it make? You know, we operate under the harmless error rule here, so tell me why Mr. Posey was harmed by this.
Well, Mr. Posey is entitled to receive correct information from the VA. The end result of the date is irrelevant. What is relevant is that the VA was required to advise Mr. Posey of the revised judicial timeline for him to seek appeal.
Well, if he actually received the document at some point, and so he has it now.
Correct.
What difference does it make if it wasn't restamped on the face of it? If he gets a letter from the regional office and says, hey, here's your Board of Veterans Appeals decision, you know, why does it make any difference whether it's stamped on the document or not stamped on the document? Isn't that just a mere administrative matter?
It is not, Your Honor, because Mr. Posey was advised of the erroneous timeline for him to seek judicial review off of the erroneous date of July 17, 2007, instead of the revised mailing date. And that makes a difference for veterans like Mr. Posey in seeking to initiate judicial review. It's imperative that the VA advise veterans.
But why does it make a difference? I understand that the VA is required to tell the individual.
Right.
It's supposed to be stamped on the front. Why does it make a difference?
Well, it makes a difference so Mr. Posey has the correct information to seek judicial review.
So why? He got it. He got the document. Right?
Well, it's imperative that he knows the deadline and the timeline.
Okay.
Well, going with that position, if he was told a date earlier than you assert is the actual date that the clock starts running on his appeal time, how is he prejudiced? Because if he had acted within that timeline, he would have had a timely NOA and we wouldn't be here arguing about when the clock should start.
Correct, Your Honor. If I understand your question, you're saying what if he's advised of the erroneous deadline, it's actually shorter than the revised deadline.
Exactly.
If I'm understanding your question. Well, Your Honor, it's imperative that a veteran be apprised of the correct judicial timeline review, whether it's shorter or not. It's almost analogous to the situation that the VA is required to assist veterans in getting medical records. The end result is irrelevant whether those medical records will prove their claim, but just the fact that they do actually seek out and get those records. The same situation is here. It's imperative that the VA notify a veteran of the correct judicial timeline, irrelevant of whether it would change or not. They were required to advise them of the deadline. VA regulations state that the notice must include applicable time limits and an explanation of the procedure for obtaining review and any applicable effective dates. And that is an effective date that Mr. Posey should have been advised of.
Well, I understand it can have an impact for this court's determination of when a timely NOA would be filed or when the clock starts counting on Mr. Posey's appellate period. But I have to agree with Judge Hagel's assertion that I'm not seeing the harm necessarily in VA failing to just follow their regulations in advising Mr. Posey. But I'd like to move along. So going back to your earlier assertion, you state that Mr. Posey didn't receive the mailing, or we don't know when the mailing was sent because you doubt the administrative processes that accompanied the second mailing.
Correct, Your Honor.
So when do you assert is a date that we should start looking to?
If your honors would like to look to the receipt date, the Secretary concedes that apparently sometime around November 6, 2007, Mr. Posey received his notice of appeal.
Has your client asserted, or have you put any evidence into the record of what date he received it, or a copy of the decision that he received?
No, Your Honor. Mr. Posey cannot recall the date he actually received the new board decision. But the Secretary does concede that Mr. Posey did receive it sometime around November 6, 2007. That is the date of his correspondence on his notice of appeal.
I'd like to shift gears a little bit to the matter that the court ordered the parties to be prepared to discuss in a supplemental order. Are you familiar now with the Kouvaris and the Boone decisions of this court?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can you explain to me how your client's documents differs from or is similar to the Boone and Kouvaris filings?
Yes, Your Honor. In the, I believe it was the Boone decision, the veteran there, his documents, his notice of appeal, in looking at the totality of the circumstances in filing his notice of appeal, it's clear that he did not intend to seek judicial review of the board decision. I believe he stated in his notice of appeal that he could not afford to hire an attorney and take this matter to court. So therefore, it's clear that his intent was not to seek judicial review. Mr. Posey's notice of appeal, however, it's clear from reading the correspondence that Mr. Posey intends to seek judicial review of his board, of the July 17, 2007 board decision.
So let's look at Mr. Posey's filing.
Okay.
It was on a VA Form 9, which is a form that is used to appeal to the Board of Veterans' Appeals. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
He checked off that he wants a Board of Veterans' Appeals hearing.
Correct, Your Honor.
And he included his claim file number, his name and address, and included an assertion of what the error was. Does that not meet the criteria of a motion for reconsideration?
It does, Your Honor. However, Mr. Posey's documents go beyond the requirement for a motion to reconsider. Along with this form, although it is entitled Appeal to the Board of Veterans' Appeals, I would like to state that it's probably fair to assume that many veterans are just not aware and familiar with the hierarchy of seeking adjudication or judicial review. Some veterans do think the court is the board, and some veterans think the board is the regional office. It's just not clear sometimes.
Doesn't when Mr. Posey received whatever date it was, the decision of the Board of Veterans' Appeals, did he not receive along with it a statement of appellate rights?
He did, Your Honor.
And why did that not suffice to tell him what the court was, what the board was, and so forth?
I agree, Your Honor. However, when Mr. Posey submitted these documents to the regional office, if there was any ambiguity with respect to his documents, he should have been notified. They sat in the regional office for 72 days. Someone should have notified Mr. Posey and advised him that there were deficiencies in his document, and nobody did. Nobody helped Mr. Posey. And I would also
what authority do you have for the VA should have done something?
Well, the VA has a duty to assist, Your Honor, and I do not believe that that duty ends when a board decision is issued.
I'm sorry. Please finish. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I believe that the duty for the VA to assist carries through when a veteran files their documents, and in a situation where Mr. Posey misfiles them. I think that they had a duty to advise him first, promptly forward his documents to the court, and if it was unclear as to whether his documents were a notice of appeal or a motion to reconsider, someone should have contacted Mr. Posey and advised him, and the record is void of any sort of correspondence from the VA to Mr. Posey. And I would also like to point to the court to Mr. Posey's correspondence.
Okay. Now, on this duty to assist issue here, what language in the statute or in the regulation do you rest your view that the VA had a duty to assist after the BVA decision was rendered? But first of all, just generally, what statutory provision, what language in the statute do you rest your claim that the duty to assist would support this reading or returning or notification to Mr. Posey?
Your Honor, the VA statute is clear that the VA has a duty to...
What statute?
I don't know the statute number, Your Honor, but I know that case law and regulations support that the VA has a duty to assist.
Okay, do you have a statute with you?
I do not, Your Honor.
Okay. You may continue.
But on that point, Mr. Posey made the regional office his agent, did he not?
Correct.
They're not agents of the court, are they?
Oh, that's disputable, Your Honor.
I beg your pardon?
That's disputable whether the regional office would be an agent of the court.
Well, I think if you look at the case law and the statutory framework, you will find that they are not agents of the court. But Mr. Posey, by filing it with the regional office, made the regional office his agent for purposes of delivery, not the court's agent. So it seems to me that the VA was somewhat confused, and as much as they were holding on to it, as you've indicated, treating it in part as a motion for reconsideration as a result of the ambiguity. And your view is, and Mr. Posey's view is, that it should have been forwarded to the court within 120 days of the date of filing.
Should have been promptly forwarded to the court. That's correct, Your Honor.
And other than the duty to assist theory, do you have any case law to support that?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
I would also like to direct the court to the correspondence that Mr. Posey submitted with the form. It's clear from the correspondence Mr. Posey's intent to seek judicial review.
Can you point to specific language that you think evidences that intent?
Yes, Your Honor. Towards the end of the correspondence, Mr. Posey states, "The petitioner hereby prays that the law be literally applied." And in interpreting this document against the backdrop that pro se pleadings and, in addition, notice of appeal should be liberally construed, Mr. Posey's correspondence reads almost like a pleading. He cites case law, and he requests that the law be literally applied.
But he also says that he's requesting to have a video conference hearing with one of the board members in Washington, D.C.
Correct.
So let's say that Mr. Posey is confused about whether the court is part of the board or not. If his intent, if his understanding is not clear, can his intent be clear?
Yes, Your Honor.
And can you elaborate on that?
Well, like I said, Your Honor, the correspondence attached expresses his intent to seek judicial review, and the documents Mr. Posey submitted should be liberally construed.
Would these arguments not also be applicable to a motion for reconsideration?
It could, Your Honor, but I do think that Mr. Posey's documents go beyond the requirements for a motion to reconsider. The way that I interpret these documents, it's clear that he is seeking judicial review of the board, the July 17, 2007 board decision. And I would also like to point one more thing out to Your Honors. In addition to when the Secretary remailed Mr. Posey's notice, the board decision, it was noted in his file that the decision was to be sent with necessary explanation, and the VA's mailing practices were not followed pursuant to those instructions in his file. If the court does not have any other questions.
I'm sorry, go back to that point again.
Yes, the briefing in the record reflects that there is a note within Mr. Posey's C file that when the first decision was mailed to Mr. Posey and it was returned undeliverable, it was noted in his file that the VA was to resend it with any necessary explanation, and the necessary explanation was not included with that remailing of the document. So I'd like to point out that the VA also did not follow the instructions set out in Mr. Posey's file.
So you're what you're telling us is that in the mail he got just the board decision with the appellate rights and no letter explaining that, is that correct?
Correct, and no revised judicial timeline included.
Well, Counselor, not to belabor the point, but on the document that you allude to, did Mr. Posey receive that document?
The board decision? Or
the document that indicates the attached communication was returned as undeliverable?
No, Your Honor.
He did not?
He did not.
Okay. And that has the handwritten note that had
correct.
Been
that is just a note within his file, and Mr. Posey did not see that note and was not aware of that notation. But Your Honor, do you not have any further questions?
No. So you have... you have 10 minutes on rebuttal. Ms. Nguyen.
May it please the court, Nguyen Nguyen for the secretary. Appellant November 2007 document is a notice of appeal. However, it was not timely filed with the court, and therefore this appeal should be dismissed.
Excuse me. I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You're saying that the document is a notice of appeal?
Yes, Your Honor. First, I'd like to address the counsel's assertions regarding the duty to assist. It's clear
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you again. Why is it that you say that this document, and we're talking about the Form 9 here, the documents on the 4-9, why do you say that's a notice of appeal?
First, Your Honor, in addressing that question, the case law has indicated that in order to determine whether a document is a notice of appeal, you must first look at the document in its entirety and also the circumstances surrounding the case. First, in turning to the four corners of the document, the cover page is a form, a VA form, indicating an intent to appeal. The appellant specifically selected a VA form that indicated appeal on the top of the page, and he also specifically checked off a box indicating his intent to appeal the issues, all his issues. He mentions nothing on the cover page about seeking reconsideration. On the second
page, on the cover page,
no, he does not. However, the
does
only.
Did he mention the Board of Veterans' Appeals?
There are, because it is a form, there are some references to the board, appeal to the board at the top of the of the form.
But again, does he also select the, he specifically checks off a box that says that he would like a hearing with the board in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, Your Honor. He does check indicating that he wants a hearing. However, there is no such thing as appealing a board decision to the board. The only appeal available to him is to appeal it to the court. On the second page of the document, the attachment, is a letter that he wrote. He twice indicates on this letter that he wants to appeal. And in those references, which he underlines, he does not reference the board.
If I may play devil's advocate, if the appellant lacks in sophistication enough to file a form requesting a board hearing and a form that is used by VA, might one also assert that he might be unsophisticated enough to understand the differences between an appeal to the court and a motion for reconsideration, or an appeal from a board decision and a motion for reconsideration, which is a relook at a board decision?
Perhaps he might be confused with some of the intricate details of what an appeal and a motion for reconsideration is. However, he does indicate several times on the face of this document that he is seeking an appeal.
Well, Counselor, if it's that obvious, why did it take the VA 72 days to forward it to the court?
It is uncertain why it took that amount of time to forward it to the court. It could be because it was a November document. The holidays were during that time. But VA's duty in this case, the duty to assist the appellant stops, only applies to the administrative proceedings. And with respect to a final board decision, VA has a duty to send the appellant a copy of that decision and to advise him of his rights to appeal.
Could I go back one step? You said that the duty to assist stops with the board decision, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. When does the VA lose jurisdiction over this case?
Once a board decision is issued, the VA, and VA notifies him of his appellate rights, then the agency no longer has jurisdiction over the case.
Is that right? And what happens during the period of time between the board decision is issued and a notice of appeal is filed here?
During that time, it is the appellant's responsibility to ensure that the notice of appeal is properly filed with the court.
But who has jurisdiction? Is this like claims purgatory, or is... somebody has to have control over the proceedings here, right? This person submitted a claim. Does it just go away at that point? Is it the agency's obligation just extinguished then? And then there's this 120-day period that if the claimant decides they want to pursue it, then they come here. Is that, I'm sorry, that was a convoluted question. If you understood it, can you answer it?
I think, Your Honor, that once the administrative procedure has ended, the appellant may not choose to appeal his case, and therefore it would cease at that point.
Okay.
Only when he files a notice of appeal with the court, only if that happens will this court have jurisdiction to hear the case.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the mailing of the decision. Does the VA have any procedures, be they by regulation or M21-1 manual or VA general counsel opinion or anything that indicates what the agency is supposed to do when a board decision is returned as undeliverable?
With respect to return mail, although there is an M21 provision that addresses a claims file that is returned to the regional office after a board decision has been issued. And in essence, the provision indicates that when a board decision is issued and the claims file is returned to the regional office, an employee will go through the claims file to ensure that the board decision was sent to the correct address. If the employee determines that it was not sent to the correct address, the employee will make a copy of the board decision and send that copy to the appellant's correct address and make a notation of when it was sent out to the correct address.
Did you cite to or attach this provision?
No, it was not cited to in either appellant's brief or appellee's brief. However, it's M21 Part 1, Section G, and Chapter 33, Subsection B.
Does this provision provide for any kind of information pertaining to restamping the date on the face of the board decision?
Yes, Your Honor. The provision specifically says that under no circumstances shall the board decision, the original date stamp, be changed.
Well, then I'd like to go back to...
Excuse me a second. Changing the board decision is different than restamping. Changing the original date is different than putting a new date or a date transmitted or something on there, isn't it?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you have a copy of that M21-1 provision with you?
I do. Would you like to see it, Your Honor?
Actually, I would. And do you have a copy for the... appellant's counsel to look at?
I actually only have one copy.
I'll tell you what, why don't you give it to appellant's counsel to look at, and just so she can have it and address it to the result. Perhaps your Mr. Ripple could locate that for you so you can continue your argument.
Regulation that I found that sort of pertains at all to the date on the board decision, 20.1100, which has to do with what date does a board decision become final? It's the date that it's stamped. In a case of erroneous mailing, of return mailing, that is not the date the board decision becomes final, correct?
No, Your Honor. I believe that the statute says that the board decision will be stamped with the date that it was sent, and in this case it was mailed originally on July the 17th, 2007, and it will become final on that date.
However, don't we also have case law that says that the date for the purposes of appealing to the court, finality for the purposes of appealing to the court, does not begin to run until the veteran receives, there's actual receipt or the date of the new mailing to the appropriate address.
Right, Your Honor.
Okay. So if the decision is not required to be date stamped with the date that it's actually sent out to the correct address, how is the court supposed to determine and how is the appellant supposed to know within what period of time they have to submit their notice of appeal? Are they to divine the state?
Let me give you an example. Just try to put this in context. I think this follows Judge Sholin's question. There are how many members of the board? Over 60, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, each one of them doesn't run down to the mailbox and drop their decision into the mailbox, correct? They go to a central place, they're stamped, and then they're mailed. There's a procedure that the board has to mail them, make sure that they're mailed the date that they're stamped. Am I right so far?
Yes, sir.
Now, we recently had this huge snowstorm in Washington, D.C., and even mail, some mail was stopped during that period of time. So let's assume that they stamped the board decision. I don't know what happened to it, but it didn't actually get mailed into the U.S. mail for 2 or 3 days. Now, what would be the date for the board decision? For terms of appealing to this court.
I think, Your Honor, we would have to look at the circumstances of each case if there are issues that arise. And in this case, although there was no restamping, no evidence of restamping of the board decision, there is a note in the claims file which specifically indicates that the board decision was resent on September 15th, 2007. And that would be the date that the appeal period would begin to run.
Counselor, who wrote that note?
It is initialed by AA, and it has an employee number, which indicates that it is a certain individual at the regional office in Denver, Colorado. It is specifically identified.
And is there a regulation that say this is the appropriate procedure?
The closest regulation that is...
You can say yes or no to that question.
I don't believe that there is a regulation that actually addresses this situation, Your Honor.
And if that was the case, then if there is no regulation that governs that, then wouldn't the Secretary lose a presumption of regularity at that point?
No, Your Honor. I think that this practice of taking notes in the ordinary course of business regarding a mailing is a regular practice.
Where, you just said that there is no regulation that applies. You've not established anywhere in the documents I've read that this is the regular practice of business. So where do we get the evidentiary support that this is an underlying requirement? Therefore, the presumption of the presumption of regularity. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. As I understand the presumption of regularity, we're presuming that government officials follow the regulations or practice that the agency has in place. That's where the presumption comes from, that government officials will do their duty. If there is no duty or regular practice, why should the presumption of regularity with regard to transmission of a document apply?
Your Honor, we have already conceded that the initial mailing was not regular, so the presumption does not apply.
At this point,
the test is not that a presumption of regularity. It's to show that the decision was remailed in compliance with 7104.
Again, Judge Lance's question was, how do we know? We just have a scrawl and a date and a statement on this document. We don't know who wrote it, when they wrote it.
Do we have a declaration in the record from that individual or from anybody attesting what is the procedure that should be employed in the instance of a remailing?
It's a regular practice of that RO or the agency to do this?
No.
The appellant's counsel said that the appellant did not receive any explanation with the board decision when the appellant received it. The record that I saw did not contain any such explanation. Do you know whether or not a letter explaining why this board decision dated, was it in January, back in the 17th or whatever month, September or January, why it all of a sudden showed up in the appellant's mailbox?
There's nothing in the record that shows that there was an attachment to the letter that was resent.
So put yourself in the veteran's position, Mr. Posey's position. You walk down to the mailbox, or you go out. Yeah, you go to your mailbox, open it up, throw away all the catalogs, and son of a gun, here's a letter from the VA. You open it up, and there's a board decision. With no letter, you just get a board decision. You see a date on it that now is more than 120 days gone. You look at the back of it, it's got your appellate rights, and it says, hey, you've got to appeal to the court within 120 days. Now, where does that put the veteran?
Your Honor, the resending occurred in September 15, 2007, which was less than approximately 60 days after the initial mailing. If the appellant received that decision soon after and was confused or relied on the date that was stamped on the board decision, he would not have been prejudiced by that. He would have believed that he had to file his notice of appeal earlier rather than later. And
Earlier than what?
In approximately 60 days as opposed to 120 days.
So you cut 60. So in other words, he lost 60 days from his time to appeal. Maybe he was running around trying to find a lawyer. Maybe he was, who knows what he was trying to do, but he has a statutory right to 120 days, doesn't he?
Yes, Your Honor, and he was given 120 days because the Secretary Smith set his appeal period did not begin to run as of until September the 15th, 2007.
And you come up with that September 15th date because of this note on the in the claims file, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if that date goes away, then we're looking at a different number of days, right?
If that date goes away.
What I mean is if the court doesn't accept September 15th as the date of mailing, because there's no presumption, assuming the court found this, that there's no presumption of regularity. In other words, we don't know what this note is. We don't know who wrote it. We don't know when they wrote it. There's no regulation that tells us why they wrote it. So let's say the court said, hey, we don't know what this is. This could have been the hot dog guy writing on the thing here. So we need to pick another date. So if that date goes away, then this 120 days that you're talking about, the count starts from another day, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what day, if that's the case, should we start that count from?
The appellant addressed a letter to this court dated November 6, 2007, in which he refers to the board decision.
Okay, so let's take November 6th. Would you say November 6th is the day?
No, Your Honor.
But we know that certainly he had it on November 6th.
Yes,
right?
Your Honor.
Okay.
The Secretary submits that if this court does not accept the evidence of a proper mailing, then the Secretary or the court should, as it has done in the past, ordered submissions of affidavits by appellant to the extent that he could estimate when he received the board decision, how many weeks, how many months before he received it did he file his...
Why should we do that? Isn't the, once you lose the, assuming the secretary lost the presumption of regularity, isn't the burden shifted to the secretary to prove the date of mailing? There's no obligation that I see on the appellant.
The secretary admits that with the evidence that there was a mailing and the evidence that there was a receipt, in order to ascertain an actual date of receipt, which is another way to show that, to overcome the after the presumption of regularity has been rebutted, to show actual receipt. In order to ascertain the accuracy of the date that it was received, that affidavits submitted by appellant and perhaps by members of VA as to when the mailing occurred would be helpful to the court.
Well, but it certainly would have been,
but here we are trying to determine jurisdiction. And what I'm hearing is that we have a mutual agreement that November 6th, Mr. Posey had the instrument in his hand. The secretary is trying to tell us that September 15th is the date of mailing, which the 120 days would be substantially expired by the time the appeal was actually filed. But we don't have the administrative regularity that should be supplied either through affidavits, as you have indicated, but you also indicated that we have no declaration nor any affidavits in the record from the VA. So then we have to rely upon administrative presumption of regularity, which we're having a tough time getting to be quite frank about it. And so those are the three ways it seems to me that you can prove a date, and out of the three, we only have one at the present time. Now, I'd like you to respond to that if possible.
The secretary submits that a note kept in contemporaneous to the actual mailing is perhaps more telling than an affidavit submitted subsequent to the mailing or subsequent to...
I would agree with you if we had somebody saying... We were trying to bolster the testimony of somebody who was testifying that they mailed it on a certain date, that this might be a contemporaneous recording of what they did, and therefore it would refresh their recollection or something like that. But I think that you're asking us to sort of back into the thing that you're trying to get us to accept. You'd have to show a mailing to have, or some sort of basis for regularity in order to establish that date of 15 September as being the date of mailing. And since the Secretary's position is that this is in fact a notice of appeal, I would have expected the Secretary to supply the affidavits or whatever the Secretary, you know, believed to be, you know, important to establish jurisdiction, especially after we issued an order asking the secretary to be prepared to deal with this issue.
Yeah,
I guess
sure.
That wasn't a question, was it? I'm sorry.
Can I consult with co-counsel for a moment?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. The Secretary is, in this case, not relying on a presumption of regularity to establish mailing. What we are relying on is a note from the board to the regional office indicating that mail was returned to the board as undeliverable, and another note indicating that the mail, the undelivered mail, was sent on September 15th, 2007, to the appellant's correct address. That's what we're relying on to show a proper mailing in this case.
Where is that in the record?
That is an exhibit that is attached to the appellant's brief.
So you're not saying we need to bootstrap onto the presumption of regularity for the second document for us to presume that this handwritten notation evidences a procedure where the remailing is done?
Correct, Your Honor.
You're arguing that this is actual evidence of the actual mailing?
Correct, Your Honor.
And Counselor, being a former prosecutor, I need to ask you, how would I go about cross-examining the person that made this entry?
In this court, Your Honor?
In the real world.
In real court? How, in trial court?
I don't have a name, I don't have a declaration, and I do not have an affidavit. I believe Judge Hagel referred to it. The entry could have been made by the hot dog guy. So,
Your Honor, the entry was initialed, and the employee's number, a three-digit number, was provided.
Right. Tell me whose initials they are. Who is that?
I do not recall the name of the employee offhand, but I do have the name of the employee. If Your Honor would like, I could submit that.
An affidavit prior to this argument would have been very helpful in proving that point, wouldn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. However, as a former prosecutor, as this document was kept in the ordinary course of business, it is admissible for the truth of the matter asserted.
It would give the presumption of administrative regularity, but there's no regulations that require this instrument to be made.
The Secretary's, after a board decision, the Secretary's duty is to mail a copy of the board decision to the appellant and to notify him of his appellate rights. And that is what the Secretary did here. The appellate rights was attached to the copy of the board decision that was sent to the appellant. Unfortunately, in this case, the appellant submitted his notice of appeal to the wrong office. And as this court stated in its October 2009 order, equitable estoppel is not applicable here. Therefore, in sum, the appellant's November 2007 document is a notice of appeal. However, it was not timely filed with the court, and the instant appeal should be dismissed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. Collier? Would you first address the M21-1 decision provision that...
Yes, Your Honor. The provision states that when reviewing folders returned by the BVA, ensure that the BVA's decision was mailed to the appellant's current address. If the decision was not mailed to the appellant's current address, it does state that the decision is to be annotated with the new address and the date it was remailed. And the decision that Mr. Posey received did not have the remailing date on it. The appellant filed in response to the court's show cause order dated October 14, 2009. The court instructed the secretary to file the board decision. The board decision that was mailed, that was filed, is the board decision with the erroneous date. So if there is something out there that states that it was remailed with any sort of explanation, I think that secretary would have filed that with the
decision. I've got to do something a little irregular here, but I'm going to ask the secretary, counsel, is your reading of that M21-1 provision the same as was described by appellant's counsel? In other words, as I understood her explanation was that there's a requirement by that M21-1 provision that on the face of the board decision, the date of the new mailing be indicated. Now, did I misunderstand that, or that's your interpretation of it? Don't worry, you'll get your time. I don't want to see it.
Sorry, Your Honor, can you repeat the question, please?
Maybe. As I understood appellant's review of the M21-1 section that you provided, it stated in broad terms that if the board decision has to be remailed to, in this case, the veteran, that the regional officer is required to note on the face of the board decision the date it was remailed. Is that correct?
That's what the provision indicates, however.
No, that's all I wanted to know. That's what the provision says. Okay, so there's an agreement on what the provision says, correct?
Right,
okay,
however.
That's all I need to know. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. In conclusion, Your Honor, the Secretary...
Well, you have plenty of time. Go ahead.
Okay. thank you, Your Honor. In response to the Secretary's argument with respect to affidavits, the Court should not allow the Secretary to submit supplemental affidavits. This Court, both sides have submitted extensive briefing, and any affidavits should have been submitted with the Secretary's brief. Prior to oral argument, and the Secretary has not submitted any sort of affidavit or declaration, and they are solely relying upon an unverified handwritten note within Mr. Posey's C file. And the Secretary, it was not until the correspondence was returned undeliverable that the Secretary went through the file and remailed it. In fact, when the Secretary originally mailed the decision, the July 17, 2007 decision to Mr. Posey, they already had Mr. Posey's correct address. Mr. Posey had filed a change of address with the VA back in January 2007, and prior to mailing the July 17th decision to Mr. Posey, they had actually mailed separate correspondence to Mr. Posey at his correct address. So the appellant has rebutted the presumption of proper mailing. Then the burden shifts to the Secretary to prove proper mailing or actual receipt, and again, relying on the unverified handwritten note, the Secretary has not been able to demonstrate proper mailing. And then with respect to receipt, I think both sides agree that the November 6, 2007 date is the date that Mr. Posey received the remailing of the decision. And the Court received Mr. Posey's notice of appeal on January 22, 2008, which was postmarked January 19, 2008. Thus, Mr. Posey's notice of appeal has been timely filed with this Court. This Court must accept jurisdiction over Mr. Posey's appeal.
Is that it?
That's it, Your Honor.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yes, Your Honor.
I understand that the Secretary has conceded that, or has stated that their agreement with the appellant, that the document filed that we're in question here, that's on the Form 9, is in fact a notice of appeal to this Court. Is the Court bound by that position?
Well, Your Honor, both parties agree that it is a notice of appeal, so we respectfully...
What is our standard of review over a document that establishes jurisdiction?
I believe it's de novo, Your Honor.
De novo review.
Correct.
So, having said that, now I ask you the question again. Is the Court bound by that let's call it a concession for want of me being able to think of a better word, that concession, that this is a notice of disagreement. Is the court bound by that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that yes?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why?
Both sides have explained to Your Honors the requirements for the notice of appeal and that Mr. Posey has met those requirements for a notice of appeal.
But if this is a document that establishes our jurisdiction, how can we allow the parties to stipulate to our jurisdiction?
Your Honor, I'm not sure that the parties can stipulate to the jurisdiction, but the parties do agree because it is a notice of appeal.
I understand you agree. So do you want to revise your previous answer of yes?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, the case is submitted. The court will recounsel.
Thank you.
All rise.